But, you know, that's why Jesus put in that parable of the sower sows the word. You know, just keep sowing the word and sow the word and sow the word and sow the word. And the Bible says that in the end times, the reaper will overtake the sower. The harvester will overtake the sower. And I've wondered about that. And sometimes, you know, I've ran into people and witnessed to them, and they got born again within 30 minutes. Here's the thing. It's not because you're so cool or you had just the right message. You did have just the right message, but it was somebody else had sown the word. You know, somebody had sowed the word, and then somebody else sowed the word, somebody else sowed the word, somebody else sowed the word. Somebody was praying. You know, there were people all over the world praying for lost souls. Then there was the Holy Spirit that drew them to the cross and Jesus. There's a lot of things, there's a lot of factors involved in getting somebody born again. So it's not, so nobody's ever a one-man show. It's never that way. It's never that way. There's always a whole bunch of things coming together at the right time. And praise God they do. And be thankful that you get to be a part of it. And when they say thank you, just say praise God. Because all you did was sowed the word. Amen. Amen. Do we have any prayer requests? All right, open your Bibles up to Proverbs chapter 4. We'll get back on studying the high life. You know, God wants us to live the high life. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. Let me get there. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, I have led thee in the right path. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. That's the God kind of life. And God gave us his instructions on how to get that. You know, the Bible tells us that the more we learn of Jesus, you know, it's, Jesus said to learn of him. The more we learn of Jesus, that means we the more we learn what he did for us and his death, burial, his resurrection, his passion, everything that he did, everything that he's doing for us as our high priest, the more we learn of him, the more of his blessings are going to come our way. See, that's why it's important not to chase a blessing, but just go to the blesser. Because everything's wrapped up in him. It's all there. Heaven has a way for everything. God planned for heaven and earth to agree. He wants us to live only one kind of life, and that's the God kind of life. Literally, the high life. Look at Luke chapter 9. Verse 23. He said unto them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So right there, that tells us that choices must be made daily. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but we get bombarded with choices all the time. We get bombarded with choices every single day. You can't even keep track of how many choices you have to make in a day. But you're always going to be making choices. Choose life. Choose life in whatever choice you make. Choose life. Choose light. My pastor told me, he said, before you make a choice to do something, consider this. Is it going to help the kingdom of God? Is it going to help the situation around you? And is it going to be done in love? So there's three things to weigh your choices on. You know, there's some choices that really, in the whole scheme of things, really don't matter to a lot. But there are some choices that we get faced with a lot of times where, you know, it can be life-altering for somebody. And we need to consider our ways before we choose which way we're going to go. Make sure we choose right. Go over to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. See, I have set before you this day life and good and death and evil. And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that thou shalt surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. We have these choices every day, and we have to make them. Glenn Smith, I'll never forget this, said you can have horse shit or sherbet, but it's going to be your choice. It's going to be your choice. Whichever one you choose, it's going to be your choice. God, he gave you an open book test, and he gave you the answer. He said, choose life. Choose life. Here's the thing about death. People would say, well, I would never choose death. But they do all the time. There's a lot of shiny things attached to death. There's a lot of exciting things attached to death. There's a lot of things that people refuse to let go of that are attached to death. But God, he gave us a free will. He also said that a man's belly will be satisfied with the fruit of his lips. See, we're going to have to choose to say the right things. We're going to have to choose to do the right things. And we're going to have to choose to stay away from the bad things, the wrong things. You know, Satan one of the things about him is he's not going to come at you to tempt you with some ground hamburger. He's going to bring a rib steak. He's going to bring a primer. He's going to bring something to make it a temptation. You know, Adam looked at that fruit and he thought, man, that looks good. There was a lot of good things in the garden to eat. So whatever Satan did to that fruit, it caught Adam's eye. I don't really know if it was an apple or what, but it caught his eye. He's going to put shiny things in front of you. And sometimes, the kingdom of God, if a guy doesn't understand what it really is about, sometimes the kingdom of God may look boring. Sometimes the nightlife looks really exciting to somebody, but it ends in death. It ends in loss. It ends in confusion. But when somebody really understands the kingdom of God, then they can get excited about that, because then they know there's exciting stuff to be had. There's exciting stuff to do. You know, it's exciting to see people's lives miraculously change. That's exciting to me. That's cool. It's cool to see somebody, you know, that, man, they might be toast. And then God uses you to get in there and intervene, and all of a sudden they walk away healed. That's cool. That is neat. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So whatsoever good thing any man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether it be bond or free. See, this cannot be stopped. The Bible tells us not to be weary in doing good. Just keep going, and keep going, and pretty soon good things are going to happen to you. And notice, he did not say, whatever man does for himself. No, I got to go do something nice for somebody else. Yeah. Yeah. Go do something nice for somebody else. God's going to make sure that that seed prospers in your life. I promise you, it works. It works absolutely wonderfully well. You'll never be able to outgive God. You just can't outgive him. And there's something about helping somebody else that actually gives you energy. It may seem like a drain sometimes, but actually it's actually pumping life into you. So sometimes we just got to look at it through a different set of glasses. You know, sometimes it may seem like a drag, but just look at it. Okay, this is something for the kingdom, and the kingdom is going to bless me back. Amen? Now, the way of life is the way of peace. When you choose life, you'll have peace. When you choose life, you'll be choosing the way of health. See, those two kind of coincide together. God knows what he's doing when he tells us what to do and how to do it. that it's going to lead us to a healthy lifestyle. You know, sometimes the choices we make aren't all that healthy. But if we choose God's way, it will lead us to health. I remember I worked for this old man up home, and he'd been in the oil field forever and ever, and he's telling me, so I used to go elk hunting all the time. And it got where I couldn't even get out of camp. So I quit drinking. So then he said, I went hunting the next year, and I could kind of walk around out there, you know, 100 yards or so. And that's about as far as I could get. So I quit smoking. And now I walk all over the place out there, he said. Yeah. God's ways will lead us to life. God's ways will lead us to prosperity. There's a whole bunch of people that are anti-prosperity, and they just don't understand the Bible. You know, Jesus, he got on the cross. You know, the Bible tells us, for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes, he was made poor so that we can be made prosperous, can be rich. He has a design for us. He has a way to get there. It's not the world system. The world system says you take 10% of your money and you put it in the stock market, or 15% of your money and you put it in a IRA or whatever kind of scheme they may have on any given day, and said you save that, you save and save and save and save, and then you're gonna end up being okay. You know how many people I ran into that did exactly that? And they would be like just a couple months from retiring, and all of a sudden, you know, one guy, I ran into him, I said, what are you doing out here with me? And he said, I was going to retire, and Obama emptied my individual retirement account. He just zeroed it out. Well, didn't Jesus say, don't store up for yourself treasures on this earth where thief can break through and steal? He said, store treasures up for yourselves in heaven. See, he's got a whole different banking system. See, but one way, we take 10% and we invest it in ourselves in the stock market. That's what the world says. God says you take 10% and you invest it in the kingdom. Well, people will take money and put it in the stock market and say, okay, I have control of it. But it's almost like if they put it in the kingdom, it says they've lost all control. That's all right. You weren't in control to begin with. I hope you know that, don't you? We're supposed to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lead not unto our own understanding. He says he will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's choosing life. That's choosing life. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 15. It says, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. The new and living way is the life that Jesus prepared for us. See, there was no way to the Father until Jesus got here. That's the new living way. Through him. Jesus did it for us so that we can do whatever it takes to walk therein. See, he already walked the walk. Whatever he asks us to do, he gives us the ability to do, and he gives us the strength to do. There's too many people running around saying, well, God has overloaded me. Well, you're carrying a load that you're not qualified to carry, number one. You need to cast your cares over on the Lord. See, there are just some things that you can't fix. Have you ever figured that out yet? There is some things that you just cannot fix. And for you to sit and stew and worry about them and get mad about it, you're wasting your time and you're wasting your energy and you're wasting your health. But this person needs help. Yes, they do. And there's nothing you can do about it. You just won't get that through your head. You can pray for them. You can be there for them. You can help them, but you can't pick them up and carry them. Jesus is the only one that can do that. But he's going to teach them how to walk. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 6. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6 says, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through and in you all. That's the God kind of life inside of you. That's the Zoe kind of life inside of you. Now, I want you to go down to verse 7. But unto every one of us, every single one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you're dealing with. I don't care how hard the situation may be. God has given you grace to deal with it. You know, if you're honest with yourself and you run into those impossible situations, you'll have to come out there and have that conversation with Jesus and say, I don't know how to fix this. I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know how to handle this. I'm casting it over onto you. I want to go enjoy my day. You figure this out. I can't. Then you can ask him to help you. And guess what happens? He causes things to happen. He causes you to be in the right place at the right time. He causes things to just start working. But if you think you're man enough, you go ahead and carry the load that only Jesus can carry and watch yourself get tired, frustrated, angry, and give up. There's just sometimes you can't fix the situation. And I have to tell people that quite often. I said, screaming on me isn't going to fix anything. Screaming about what happened isn't going to fix anything. But sitting here trying to figure out why this thing went south and why this thing isn't right, why this thing isn't this way, why this isn't that way, he just wasted an hour of our time when we could have been doing something constructive. If you can't fix a situation at that given moment, there is no reason to carry on about why it's all messed up. If you can't fix it, go do something else. You know, I've on certain jobs, I've looked at things, and I thought, I don't know how that's going to possibly work. So I just wouldn't deal with it for a while. And then the owner would ask me, say, well, what are you going to do about that? I said, right now, nothing. And they kind of look at me kind of funny. And I said, don't worry about it. We'll get it. But right now, nothing. And then I'll pray about it, and I'll look at it and pray about it. And then pretty soon, God will give me an answer, and it'll come together smoothly. But to just get in there and say, by God, I'm going to fix this right now. It's going to be this way. You know, and especially on people. That's a terrible, terrible mistake to make. We don't fix people. I hope you know that. We don't fix people. We pray for them. We sow the word. We help them. But God is the only fixer of people. And sometimes people get frustrated with me. Somebody will have something happen, and they say, what are you going to do? I said, I'm not going to do anything right now. And then some of them get mad and say, you got to run over there. You got to do this right now. No, I don't. Did you know that it's okay to just get off by yourself and ask God, say, what about this? What do you think we should do? That seems like a more sane approach to almost every situation. Did you know Jesus didn't get in a big rush? He didn't just, somebody would come and ask him, said, hey, Lazarus is sick. He didn't just rush up to Lazarus' house. In fact, it irritated some people that he didn't seem concerned. Why? He had the Zoe kind of life in him. He knew the answer before he got there. And he wasn't late. Did you know that? The sister come out and said, it's too late. If you would have just come here, he'd have been all right. But Lazarus came out of that tomb alive, so he obviously wasn't too late. Here's one of the things we need to understand about God. He's never in a hurry. But he's never late. That's where our patience. We have to let patience have its perfect work. Well, I've been standing in faith for this thing for 3 days. Why hasn't something happened? Well, you poor little thing. Be prepared to stand forever. It won't take very long. But we got this, I want what I want when I want it, and I want it right now attitude. And that just doesn't work in the kingdom of God. we may have to stand in faith for a while for some of the things that we may need. Well, it's all right. Just keep standing. Amen? Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything that you've done for us. We thank you for Jesus, our high priest, who blesses us. He has blessed us in so many ways. He's blessed you, blessed us with his grace. And we've never deserved it. We've never earned it. But you've given it so freely. You blessed us with so many wonderful things that we don't even recount. Father, show us how to be more gracious and grateful and appreciative. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We'll see you Sunday. Don't freeze.